Good morning, everyone. Good to see all of you, and good to be back for a brand new series, but mostly to see you first and to just hope that all of you are doing well and ready for a new summer. And now let me introduce our new series to you. I'm never surprised when people say, I've never heard of Ernest Shackleton before, because my first introduction to him was in 2003, about 15 years ago, as some of you saw in the piece that Pat Quigley sent out from me. But I want to say something before we get started. For those of you that may be asking the question, why doesn't John take a book of the Bible like Colossians or Philippians and just go through a text expositorially rather than do series like on the Roman Empire, the foundations for Christianity, apologetics, the life of G.K. Chesterton or Blaise Pascal that we looked at? Why does he go into these series? And the reason is because, and you need to get inside my heart just for a moment, that this is not a worship service in the class. It would help you to hear one more time, though I've said it on various occasions throughout the 17 years that I've been teaching here, that it was Dr. Van Groningen who persuaded me in March of 1976 that I had become a pietist and that I was only looking at issues of personal spiritual growth, practicing the spiritual disciplines like solitude, silence, meditating on scripture, Bible study, prayer, worship, service, and the like. And it was on that Friday afternoon in March of 76 when we had that amazing meeting on a sidewalk right outside the Biblical Studies building. And it was then that Van Groningen, without repeating that story again, said to me, remember, John, this is not only God's word that you should be studying, but this is God's world. And that changed my life forever. And I began to read 50% of my time in secular literature, both literature, biography, fiction, nonfiction, science, because I wanted to understand more and more the breadth and the depth of the character and the creative ability and God's providence over the whole world. It's an amazing thing once you let your mind get outside Bible study. If someone came up to me from the class and said, John, we decided to study science for the next 2 years in a small group, and we're going to study John Lennox, we're going to study creation, evolution, we're going to read The Origin of the Species, we're going to really immerse ourselves in this to understand as much as we can, then I would applaud, because God was there from the very beginning, and those first words in Genesis 1:1 are powerful words, in the beginning. And then, of course, in John 1:1, we find that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So everything that is, from the fish and the deepest crevices of the ocean to the amazing birds that fly through the air with ease, to all the mammals and animals that roam upon the face of the earth, God is the one who has created all of these ex nihilo, that is, out of nothing. And so when Shackleton entered my heart and mind in 2003, he has stayed with me, as many people do. So there are many things deep down inside of me that no one ever sees, because I go off on these, you might call them rabbit trails, to explore something for a long, 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 long time, like a definition of an allegory, which I spent months and months looking into the best English scholars in the nation to understand the background to John Bunyan's writing of Pilgrim's Progress, or reading G.K. Chesterton as he writes an article on lying in his bed facing up, and he sees a white ceiling, and all he dreams about in that essay is what he could do if he had a long paintbrush laying on his back in his bed and paint the ceiling. No one paints the ceiling, and so except Michelangelo. And so so when you see this, I could really understand if you are saying in your heart, well, I wish he would do a whole series on C.T. Studd, because he was a missionary with China Inland Mission with Hudson Taylor, and he went both to China and India and wound up in the heart of Africa where he gave his life for the gospel. I could understand if you were saying, I wish we would go beyond Billy Graham and go to Billy Sunday. I would like to understand his life. But an English explorer who really was Irish, is there really something here for us? Do you remember the series we did just last year? And I think most of you who were here would, the series on adversity and how God has allowed adversity in the world for us to experience, and through suffering, we fill up the measure of the sufferings of Christ, and it's actually a part of our training. It's not just being in a Bible study week after week to learn new truths about the book of Deuteronomy or Revelation or prophecy or whatever, but it also is about learning God's ways in the world. So the Lord put this on my heart and then confirmed it over time that this would be the way that I would go. Today there's a surprise for you, and I believe that every single soul in here will be deeply moved. So I thought to myself, what would they need to know in order to have this series really mean something to them? If you're familiar with Shackleton, like Marty mentioned himself, and I think I saw and you saw his excitement, so I knew immediately that I had a kindred spirit, that we had met the same man through his reading, my reading, and I don't know what film he may have seen. But today I realize that there are many who would never have heard his name until right now. And therefore, after a brief 5 slides only in the PowerPoint, we're going to watch a 41-minute video, DVD. And it's going to tell the story of Shackleton in images that I would never be able to produce for you. This will set the background then for the next 3 weeks of lectures on 3 different aspects of his life, only 3. Number 1, leadership, what it meant for Shackleton to give such dynamic and clear leadership to a group of 27 men. And then the second one, how do you persevere through something that seems like, for those of you that read it or saw the movie, Unbroken, one thing after another, shark-infested waters, all the things, being beaten and in a concentration camp, etc., and you just think, how could he go through one more thing? That's the sense you're going to get from Shackleton, and you just can hardly believe how he took these men through 2 years of an ordeal. And I won't give any more. You'll see it in the movie this morning. And the third area is providence. And I will not give that away unless you already know it. It'll be in the last week, the last Sunday of June. So leadership, perseverance, and providence, God's presence with him. Was Ernest Shackleton a Christian? Yes. Are there errors? Are there areas of his life where it's questionable what that faith really is? Yes. But it doesn't mean that we can't go in and examine the good things about his life. I never will forget, as my final comment before we look at these first 5 slides, when I was in my first year of introduction to Reformed theology in seminary And Dr. Morton Smith, who just passed away this last year, Morton Smith, my systematic theology professor, looked at the whole class of us one day, about 40 of us in the room, and he said, "I want to remind all of you that all truth is God's truth. All truth is God's truth, no matter who speaks it, no matter where you find it." And so with that introduction, I hope it helps you understand that this is not a worship service, and we're able to deal with issues in here that I feel I need for the journey until I take my last breath, and I hope that you will find that you're going to be strengthened and encouraged in your own walk. Next week, there's going to be a big challenge to all of us, because none of us should be coasting in for home plate as we serve a risen Savior. So with that, let me begin with my introduction. So Ernest Shackleton, who lived 1874 to 1922, I might as well let you know now that he died of a heart attack and is buried at a South Georgia island at the request of his widowed wife. And he was knighted by King Edward VII, and he set sail from London on August the 1st, 1914, for Antarctica, on the same day that Germany declared war on Russia, Belgium, and France. This was the very night when World War I began. Churchill, who had received notice from Shackleton and the ship Endurance that Shackleton was sailing down to Antarctica, actually telegraphed the Admiralty in London and offered all of his men and all of his ship and all of his supplies for the war effort. And it was Churchill, along with the Admiralty, that sent a one-word response back to them: proceed. In other words, go on to the Antarctic. With a 27-man crew, he sought to be the first to traverse Antarctica on foot, an 1,800-mile journey. The race to be the first expedition to reach the geographic South Pole had already been won by a Norwegian explorer, Roald Amundsen. When he and four of the men arrived at the pole on December the 14th, 1911. Now, almost 3 years later, Shackleton considered his goal to be the last great expedition left on Earth. Aboard the Endurance, named after Shackleton's family motto in the Latin, translated into English, "By endurance we conquer," they left Buenos Aires and for the Antarctic Circle. After plowing through 1,000 miles of ice-encrusted waters, the ship got stuck like an almond in a chocolate bar in the Weddell Sea. As Morrill and Caporal note, and by the way, Morrill wrote a book with Caporal on the leadership principles of Shackleton. She studied his life for 13 years before this book was published. And as they note, the men were stranded on an ice floe more than 1,200 miles from the farthest outposts of civilization. And even though they strung wires wide across the berth of the mast and long, they had no communication from anyone in the world. No one knew where they were or how they were doing. The story that follows is the greatest survival story of all time. Shane Murphy writes this in a Simon and Schuster book that published all the photographs of Frank Hurley, who was the professional photographer who came on the trip at a time when they had to really just throw away everything except what was necessary. Shackleton allowed Frank Hurley to retain many of his glass images from his photographic work, which is the only reason that we have as much information today as we do. Some 60 years after Shackleton took five men and sailed 800 miles in a lifeboat, lifeboat over tumultuous seas to reach the inhabited island of South Georgia in the remote South Atlanta, the island from which they had sailed down toward the Antarctic. First Officer Lionel Greenstreet was asked, "How did you survive when so many expeditions perished? I mean, whole boats were lost. All the men's lives were lost. And you just see one after another where people are dying of scurvy. They're getting in ice floes. Their boats are sinking. They're frozen to death, etc." And the old salt, then 82 years of age, answered in one word, Shackleton. Another British explorer, Apsley Cherry Gerard, remarked that if he was in the devil of a hole and wanted to get out of it, give me Shackleton every time. In the course of my preparation for this series, I came to see that the best way to introduce the story of Shackleton to you was visually. Director George Butler directed the 41-minute IMAX film Shackleton's Antarctic Adventure in 1999 and 2000, incorporating the still photographs of Frank Hurley, as I've mentioned, the professional photographer aboard the ship Endurance. This film will set the stage for our 3-week study in leadership, perseverance, and providence.